This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. It's Friday, which means it's time to catch up with John Letts, my horse racing expert. John, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thanks, Jordan. I've just got up and read the paper, and, you know, it's something that's very interesting. I'd just like your thoughts on this. It's about, you know, the locals don't want athletes here. That's the lead story, says Tokyo-based Aussie, Stacey Porter. She said that they had 6,000 new cases in one day earlier this week. And the general consensus over there, the general feeling over there is that they don't like us going, well, all the athletes from around the world going to Tokyo. And I can understand that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, they're going through a wave of COVID-19. It seems irresponsible to push through the Olympics right now. Like, I'm surprised they're even doing it, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you think, and these athletes, do they expect special attention just to get on the plane and just come home and have a fortnight in isolation? Do they expect that?
Yeah, and when it's so competitive to get flights back as well, to get home to Australia. The other thing is like, these are athletes. They're going to the Olympics where obviously Tokyo is having a fair amount of COVID-19 cases. Their careers rely on them being able to breathe properly and, you know, as athletes. And if they go over there and get the virus, they're really stuffing up their future career plans if they do, you know, damage to their lungs.
Yeah, I thought that was a good article about everyone mocks Scott Morrison regarding his border protection, but do we really want to go like India? Regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, I mean, Scott Morrison, it's got to be hard because people, well, if they got the chance, and there's a lot of them out there jump on a plane and go overseas for a holiday and wouldn't think anything about it, come back here and we spread it. Because you can just about bet on it. We're going to get worse in COVID. We're not going to get better. People can say, oh, it's going to be better, we'll keep it out. But it'll get worse before it gets better. That's my general feeling on this rotten disease. But, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. But why flaunt the rules and just want to, you know, just go and do these things?
Yeah, but also, like, I know people who have been, like, say, in England since before the pandemic struck, and she hasn't been able to get home this entire time. As much as she's tried, she hasn't been able to get a flight home yet.
Exactly.
So, yeah, like, it's not just people going overseas to, you know, for whatever compassionate reasons they have, but there's still a lot of Australians stuck overseas who aren't able to get home because of the federal government's policies and quarantine system.
Exactly. Hey, listen, I just want to read you something out. A friend of mine who's a very good friend down at Mount Gambier, Barney McCusker, he's an orthopaedic surgeon down there and one of the leading surgeons down there. This is quite interesting. As a Norwood supporter and a Crow supporter and a South Australian, may I applaud Port Adelaide in its win in Saturday's Derby. I also congratulate the Power's courage to celebrate wearing whatever they choose to wear. This freedom of expression is crucial to who we are as South Australians and defines that we will not be dictated to by any individuals or organisations in the eastern states. I thought it was a great article. I rang Barney about it. He said, well, what do you think? I said, well, if we can't make up our own minds and do what we want to, we are getting dictated to by the AFL. Look, we're our own state. Why can't we be our own people?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a harmless game. It's between Adelaide and Port Adelaide. Wearing the prison bars is one thing. So I thought it was obviously a dig at Eddie McGuire wearing the prison bars in the change rooms after the game. So it got a good laugh out of me, that's for sure.
Yeah. What about the media? How do we bring them into it every week. But, oh, look, Scott Lysher, that was 3 days ago. They're still writing stories about it. Tell some of these journalists, will you, to go out and get some different stories for us, Jordan, will you?
I'll do my best. I'll call up the people I know who work for, I don't know, in AFL media.
you ring them up and just say, look, can you tell us when you're going to get another one of these cases? Because we won't buy a paper for 3 days. It's the same story over and over again.
Yeah, but of course, I think the focus is on as well dangerous tackles and concussions, which seem to be a focus in the AFL this year, which is good. Like getting more awareness on that is good. And so unfortunately, that was it. McHenry was the play, was it? No. Yes. Came away from that tackle in the first quarter with a concussion. So I think that's probably why they are focusing on it.
Yeah. Now, Stirling North girls, good morning, girls. I know you're listening every weekend. But can you work out the form? Tell me the form on tennis, Jordan. Arina Sabalenka beat Ashley Barty and beat her out of sight. She goes away and she plays in Rome this week and Corey Gauff beats her. So how do you work out? It's harder to follow the form of the tennis players than what it is racehorses, isn't it?
Yeah, I know the rankings can change whether or not you have a good day or a bad day. It's so tennis is above my pay grade, man.
Why, Ella? Quick one on that.
So with GFG securing, well, so they say securing refinancing, things have settled down a fair bit. Of course, it'll take a few weeks before that's all locked in and guaranteed. But, yes, yeah, seems like the mood in town is quite good at the moment.
Okay. Now, what's your thoughts on the bonus payments for some of these high-rise, what can we call them, managers of different companies? They're getting $3 million, $4 million a year, and they're putting workers off.
Yes, that has always been an issue with me. And I kind of feel like when it comes to, I guess, businesses, maybe we've got a minimum wage, maybe a maximum wage could be something. Because, like, you know, there's no reason for someone to be earning $3 million. Or would you even call it earning $3 million? What would you do to justify earning, quote unquote, $3
million? Exactly. And that's not just for 1 year. That's each year that they get it. And they can give themselves bonuses as well. So I just think that it's just... Well, a lot of those places you've actually got shareholders, haven't you? Why don't the shareholders vote against it? Don't they get a say?
Oh, but they probably still see enough profit as well for themselves. Yeah, and to be honest, the people at the top are also probably shareholders.
I reckon you hit the nail right on the head there. Now, this is very quickly about the prison bars. Well, the wharf violence. You know, we talk about how, you know, people don't want the Port Adelaide to wear them, the power to wear them, but, you know... Take this, for instance, Farlap was the greatest horse in the world, arguably one of the best. Well, he was the best horse in the world, and he always will be classed as the best horse in the world. You know, his colours, they were red with black and white striped sleeves, hoop sleeves, and a red cap. And you know, even since he's retired, no one has ever brought this up, but his colours are still going around with a different owner and all different horses. So who cares what colours they wear? I mean, get off your bike and get yourself a life and write about something that's not dictated to us by the Eastern States or the AFL.
Yeah, and, you know, and what difference to the game do the colours make in the end?
None at all. We'll look at last week with Richmond and Geelong, and I said it was a great game tonight.
Yeah, well, it started off as a great game, and then it got to half-time, and next thing you know, Geelong are double the points of Richmond, or no, yes, yes.
Well, it's good for me there, because I had a good night's sleep. I went to bed at half-time.
wake up to a nice result, yeah.
Yeah, just very quickly, tonight is the Hall of Fame dinner, the Australian Hall of Fame dinner at the Convention Centre here, and there'll be 10 inductees tonight. We've got a function up at the Convention Centre, so it should be interesting. And one gentleman is from a very, very famous racing family. I can't tell you who it is because that's my that's the one that I'm presenting. So, excuse me. But he is a very famous name in Australian racing, not South Australian racing, but in Australian racing, and he will be put into the Hall of Fame tonight. And, of course, his family's just gone on and on and on to great things. So that'll be interesting for you guys to read in the paper tomorrow who it was and read out the other 10 inductees, another 9 inductees, really. But anyway, let's get to the race tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got more for tomorrow. And last week, you know, it wasn't a bad day for us, really, but, you know, the disappointing part about it is, Jordan, we put on $500,000 races, and up to now, all of our group ones have gone to interstate. You know, all the money sort of, every year it seems to happen. I mean, they bring the best horses over, and you can't blame them. I mean, they're racing for $500,000, and they're group ones, which is very important. But tomorrow it looks like it might go that way again. But anyway, hopefully not. I'm tipping one of the local boys here to take it out. In the first, I like their horse called Laundy, number 7, the horse called Laundy. Actually, the stable, they had two horses in the race, and they've scratched one of them. So that is a bit of a lead that this other horse must be the one that they're going to rely on. That's the Busserton and the Young Yard. They scratched the other horse that they had in, Chuck-a-Luck, and they're relying on Laundy. So I would say Laundy's the one they think can win. Race 1, number 7, it's about $4. I'll go through the prices as we go through, then I won't have to repeat you after. Race 2, I like number 7, Hearsay, which is about $6. Race 3, number 3, Not Enough Effort, that's $5. Race 4, number 1, Rubisakis, $2.50. Race 5, number 3, Flexible, is $3. Race 6, number 9, Zaydani, is $9. Race 7, number 8, Lord Vladivostok. That's how they spell it. I don't know. That's how they spell it. That's how I'm going to pronounce it, Lord Vladivostok. Race 8, number 1, this is the horse from South Australia. I hope it wins for David Jolly. Be a Moth, number 1, race 8, number 1, is about $5. Race 9, look, Jordan, sometimes I find it hard to pick between two horses. I put in a Quinella in the last race. Race 9, I like number 12, Amber Dazzle, to win from number 17, Vapid. They're about $5, and the other one is about, and Vapid is about a $13 chance. So there's good value there for just for a dollar for number 12 and 17 box for a dollar. Flemington, race 1, I like number 4, La Farouge. It trialled very well the other day, won a trial very easily at Werribee. Race 2, number 8, Sure Can is $5. Race 3, number 1, Sartorial Splendor is about $3. Race 4, number 2, another dollar, $7. Race 5, this is I've got a couple of Quinella races here for us, Jordan. Race 5, I like number 8, Clark, which we tipped the other day. It didn't win, but it wasn't far away. 8 and 3, Cordilla is $3, so that's race 5, 8 and 3. Race 6, I like number 3, Passant, to beat number 9, Through Irish Eyes, which is $6, Passant is 5. Race 7, I like number 9, Vibrant Glider is $6. Race 8, here's another Quinella race I like, number 12, Viral, it's about $4, to beat number 5, horse. We tipped the other day, it ran 5th, a horse called Rocks the Castle, it's $20. So race 8, I like 12 and 5. And race 9, another horse we've been tipping, it just hasn't quite got there for us. Number 14, Dirty D's, is about $5. Now, go through them quickly. And race 1, number, this is Melbourne, race 1, number 4, race 2, number 8, race 3, number 1, race 4, number 2, race 5, 8 and 3 in a Quinella, race 6, 3 and 9 in a Quinella, race 7, number 9, race 8, 12 and 5 in a Quinella, and race 9, number 14 in the last. And at Morpheville, race 1, number 7, race 2, number 7, race 3, number 3, race 4, number 1, race 5, number 3, race 6, number 9, race 7, number 8, race 8, number 1, and in the last, come home and hope you get the Quinella in here, is 12 and 17 in the last race, 9 at Morpheville. That's it, Quinella. That's how we see them this week. Jordan, great day of racing tomorrow at Morpheville, and another group one day, and we've got some wonderful horses and wonderful jockeys come out. And just signing off on that, Jamie Carr, 5 winners last Saturday. Remember I said
she got 5 winners?
Yeah, I was going to tip her to win 6, but you think I was crazy?
she followed through for you.
Yeah, I know, I should have done it, but I thought, no, you just think I'm crazy if I tip her to win 6. Well, she won 5. So next time I'll think
you're crazy for not tipping all of her horses then.
Yes, the way she is at the moment, she's just outstanding, isn't she?
Yes. So it's a very exciting career then on the rise for her.
Oh, she really has, Jordan. And, you know, she's just taken that. She, as we've watched her grow up, Jamie, she's just gone. And if you understand in terms of racing, she's gone from Group 3 to Group 2 to Group 1, which is, you know, she's Group 1 now. She's the best female rider, I think. Well, possibly, it's a big statement, but I think she's the best female rider that we'll ever see.
Yeah,
really do, because no other female rider, I don't think, will be do the things that Jamie does. She just keeps winning them, and wherever she goes, she wins.
No worries.
She's here tomorrow. She's in Adelaide.
Well, if you get the chance then, if you're listening and going to go to Morpheville, make sure you look out for Jamie Carr. John, thank you so much for chatting today. We've just run out of time, but we'll talk again next week.
Okay, Jordan, great to talk to you.
That was John Letts, my horse racing expert on your Classic Gets Breakfast.